From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. One of the most consequential annual decisions made by active and retired postal and federal employees is to which health plan they should enroll. On the most recent federal benefit survey, over 90% of those surveyed indicated that FEHBP, the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program coverage, was either extremely important or important to them. Dental and vision benefits lagged slightly at 82% and 70% respectively. We have just begun the FEHBP program's open season, a five-week period during which over 8 million FEHBP participants may change their health plan. This year, the open season runs from November 8th to December 13th. Obviously, a change in an FEHBP participant's plan selection can impact their health coverage and their insurance premium. EAS-level postal employees pay the same portion of total health premium as federal employees and retirees do, which amounts to 72% of the weighted average premium of all plans. As has been Naps Chat's FEHBP open season tradition, we brought in the FEHBP open season expert. So this week I want to welcome back to Naps Chat as our guest for the third year in a row, Jay Fritz, the Office of Personnel Management's Program Manager for Outreach and Program Services, which means he runs open season. Jay began at OPM in 1991 and has been involved in the FEHBP ever since. Jay has negotiated FEHBP contracts with insurance and worked with enrollees, agencies, and participating plans themselves on a variety of FEHBP issues. Jay, welcome back to Naps Chat.
Thanks, Bob. Always a pleasure to be back for Naps Chat. And hard to believe it's the third year, but here we are.
It's a tradition, as I said. Jay, what I want to ask you is, why is open season so important to FEHBP participants?
It's important because it's an annual opportunity that allows people to review their current situation or their medical needs and really make sure if you're in the correct plan. And we always advise people to look. We know people tend to stay in the same plan year after year, but we do encourage them to take advantage of the opportunity to see what's out there. What has changed in your health situation? Different medical needs that might determine a different plan or a different level of coverage. Or, you know, perhaps the plan's changed itself. Maybe they're covering something benefit changes, that may not, be the best bet for you and your family members.
Jay, most FEHB participants let it ride during open season. That means they do nothing. They just sort of stay put. What happens if an FEHB participant does nothing during open season?
Yeah, well, we always say if you do nothing, then you're going to remain in the plan and the plan option and the enrollment type, self plus one, self and family, that you're in currently. Is that really a good idea? Well, maybe, but we do always encourage people to take a look. And what we sometimes see is people that don't take advantage of open season, when they realize there's a benefit change they didn't like in January, or they didn't look at their premium increases, and they look at their earnings and leave statement, the first pay period in January, and realize they're paying more for their insurance than they really wanted to, then you're locked in. And that's why we really encourage it. Plus, there's other changes every year regarding the plans that people really need to keep in mind. Each year we have plans that drop. So we have five plans that are dropping out of FEHB program and will not participate in plan year 2022. We also have one that's dropping, one of its service areas and one of its enrollment codes. So individuals really need to be aware that not only do you need to check your plan's benefits, whether your plan's even continue to participate. And we make all this information available, and I'll do my first plug for our website, www.opm.gov/open season, where you can find plan brochures, you can find our plan comparison tool. So it's always a good idea to go to our plan comparison tool, put in your zip code, and it'll show what plans are available to you for consideration, or to make sure that your plan will be in the program for plan year 2022.
Let's say I'm in a plan that leaves FEHBP, but I make no election. I ignore the open season. I'm too lazy to change the plan. I may not have access to the internet. What happens to me if I'm in a plan that departs FEHBP?
We do protect you. So if you do nothing, then you will be defaulted into the lowest cost nationwide plan as determined by the Office of Personnel Management, which for plan year 2022 will be the GEHA Indemnity Benefit Plan Elevate option. So we do protect you. We really encourage you not to rely on our protection. Take advantage of the materials, the information, and choose another plan, but we do protect you.
What happens if I don't have adequate access to high-speed internet? There are a number of retirees that who might live in rural areas. How do they affect change during open season?
Now, for annuitants, you're right, Bob, we've come so reliant on the internet that, you know, sometimes we forget about the people that don't have high-speed internet access or any. There are still mechanisms to do so for annuitants. There is an online system for annuitants. I think it's called Open Season Online. And there is the phone number that they can call. I don't know if I have the phone number here for annuitants, but annuitants will get a mailer from the Office of Personnel Management. I think it was to have gone out this week. So the information on that mailer will include a phone number that the annuitants can call OPM if they want to make their change and don't have access to the internet. But, you know, we're really encouraging more and more things on the internet. I know the annuitants have their, I think it's called Annuitant Express, where they can do a lot of things online, similar to what employees can do through our Employee Express.
Let's talk about the 2021 open season. I'm sure that postal employees and retirees want to know what's new this year. So what's new? Are there new plans? You said that a number of plans departed. Are any of them government-wide plans? Are there primarily HMOs or, you know, health maintenance organizations or plans defined by service area?
Yeah, the plans departing, Bob, they're all the HMOs. And I can run them down quickly. United Healthcare Advantage, which is one of our HMOs that's available in all the contiguous states in Washington, D.C. Union Health Service is departing there out in the Chicago area. True Health New Mexico is all of New Mexico. Global Health in Oklahoma, and the Quartz Health Benefits Plan in South Central Wisconsin. They're the ones that are leaving. We do have one new plan coming on board. It's Health Keepers, which was in the program a couple years ago and dropped. They are now back, and they covered Virginia and part of Northern Virginia. And it's along that Route 123 border between East and West Northern Virginia.
Are there any new benefits this year that are being offered, or any changes to coverage?
Yeah, there's a couple things that we're doing. I mean, we're always doing benefit changes, and there's always new items that the plans decide they want to cover. Some of the things that, you know, we're addressing now, it's COVID. We do want to point out COVID benefits, and that all of our carriers waive cost sharing and prior authorization requirements for COVID. They cover diagnostic antibody testing, telehealth, remote care services. They do cover vaccines and will continue to cover booster vaccines as they receive FDA authorization or approval. Some of the plans are trying to be a little bit more responsible. There's the issue now is what's called low-value care, which is really care that individuals get that's not been demonstrated to be of any value. So we're having our plans cut down on some of these services that do not get the high rating from the United States Preventive Services Task Force. Other than that, you know, there's medical foods coverage and also coverage of fertility preservation in certain situations of infertility. So these are some of the things we kind of focused on. I don't think there's any really major incentives or initiatives OPM had this year, but of course plans do change their benefits. So we do encourage people to, even if you don't plan on changing plans, you know, take a look at the plan brochure just to make certain that nothing's in there that that you don't really want to live with.
Yeah, because as you age through the workforce, as you get older, your health care needs change. So you may want to seek different types of benefits, or your financial condition changes. So you want to seek different types of premium levels.
Correct. And as the aging employee myself, you're exactly right. You know, 30 years ago, I wasn't on any maintenance medications, neither was my wife. Now we are. And that's something that you're exactly right. Situations change. And especially as, you know, it happens to all of us as we get older, then we have, you know, medical expenses we never really thought of 30 years ago.
But also, you know, for younger federal employees, postal employees that are just starting a family, there are certain needs, whether it be family building activities, if you will, or caring for your kids.
Correct.
And one of the things that I think OPM is extremely proud and ought to be proud of is that while on the average, private sector healthcare premiums have increased dramatically over the past number of years, FEHBP premiums, while they increased, it was not at the same magnitude as the private sector. Could you talk about how OPM has been able to contain premium inflation?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the premium containment is that we are the world's largest employer provider insurance. And for a lot of these carriers, we're the largest customer, which does give us some flexibility and a little bit of influence over what they charge us. So, you know, we always take advantage of our marketing power in order to try to get the best deal we can for our federal enrollees. You mentioned premium increases, just, you know, some quick figures. We're looking at about a 2.4% premium increase for this year across the FEHB program. Of course, that will vary by individual. That's just, you know, a general average premium increase. And how that compares to others is pretty good. It's that if you look at CalPERS, which is a California system for employees and retirees, their average increase is 4.8%. PricewaterhouseCoopers Health Research Institute is projecting a 6.5% growth rate in medical costs for calendar year 2022. And we're in at 2.4, which is good for this year. And even over recently, this is the lowest premium increase we've had since at least 2018. But we're really proud of the job we did in keeping our premiums low and our benefits good for our enrollees.
Yeah, what's important for annuitants is that while the cost of living adjustment that you'll get under CSRS is 5.9% and FERS is at 4.9%, the FEHBP premium is only going up 2.4%. So the health inflation or premium inflation is lagging significantly behind the cost of living adjustment and CPI.
It is. And Bob, I do want to emphasize that is an average premium increase. We want to encourage everyone, again, that's an average. Go take a look at what your plan's doing itself for your enrollment. And that information, again, I'll plug our website, www.opm.gov/open season. We have the information on there. The plan comparison tool will show the rates, benefits. So, you know, we really do encourage people to do some shopping.
Work through this with me. I'm an annuitant or I'm a postal employee. I'm approaching open season. I'm going to your website to search for a plan, whether or not I want to stay, whatever plan I'm in, or what plan I want to change into. How do I go through the process of searching plans or comparing plans?
Again, it's the website that I've been giving, opm.gov/open season. Is that we have our plan comparison tool on there, and we always encourage people to use the plan comparison tool. You enter your zip code, and it'll show all the plans that are available to you based upon your zip code. And then the plan comparison tool will show various information regarding premiums, and it'll show some basic information on the benefits that are available. It'll show benefits, it'll show deductibles, show co-payments. So that's really something that you should look at, kind of a general overview. The other thing on our website is a specific plan brochures. And that's where all the details is. You know, the kind of the plan comparison tool is kind of the forest view, and the tree view is the individual plan brochures, where we encourage people to go in. And in the plan brochures, there's a change page. It's clearly states at the end of the brochure how we change for 2022. So that'll give you an idea of what's happened to your current plan. And then for the other plans that you might be considering, or if you're not considering any specific plan, the plan comparison tool is really the place to start.
And if I go deep into the weeds on this, particularly with some government-wide plans that have a preferred provider network or certain network physicians, once you communicate in some way or go on their plan website to see if you're a physician or a physician you want to sort of become a patient of is in their preferred plan. There's a cost benefit to seeking providers who are part of a network.
Of course, and we always recommend strongly that individuals stay within the plan network whenever they get any services. Now, sometimes it's kind of out of your control, but yeah, you know, when I need medical services or my wife, one of the first things I do is go onto the plan website, look up that provider network directory and take a look and see whether that doctor or doctors are in the plan's network. So that's always something good to check. We kind of don't really encourage people to follow their doctor. You're kind of joining a system, the benefits, but we know that people have doctors that they like and they want to stick with. So we do make that information available. We can link to the plan provider directories off our open season page.
Let's talk about a group of annuitants, and I'm talking about Medicare eligible federal and postal annuitants who participate in Medicare. Most of us know Medicare Part A is primarily for hospitalization costs and is fully paid for by FEHB participants during their work years. That's that 1.45% payroll withholding you may see on your pay stub. Part B is optional, and you pay a premium for that on a monthly basis. And at that, Part B coverage covers physician medical-related expenses, including doctor's visits. Could you talk a little bit about how FEHBP and Medicare coordinate their benefits?
Yeah, most people that have Medicare and FEHB are retired, which means Medicare is going to be primary. We do primary, secondary payer based on CMS rules, Medicare rules. So the general rule is that if you're working with Medicare, FEHB will be primary. If you're retired, Medicare will be primary. And we do coordinate benefits, you know, based upon the coordination of benefit rules. The one issue that we're seeing is that a lot of feds are not taking Medicare Part B when they do become eligible, retired at 65, because a lot of them honestly don't see the benefit in it. They're paying an FEHB premium. FEHB provides extensive coverage that they've had, you know, for their entire working career. So we do encourage people to take Medicare Part B because it does provide those additional benefits that are coordinated with FEHB. Plus, there could be certain things that Medicare covers that FEHB doesn't. So we are trying to incentivize individuals to take Medicare Part B when it becomes available. And there are several plan choices that offer a type of Medicare Part B incentive, maybe either through a copay. Some plans may waive their copays. If you have Medicare Part B, they may waive coinsurance. They may waive deductible. And some plans even do a Medicare Part B reimbursement of what you're paying for the Medicare Part B premium. And, you know, just FYI, we've had four new plan options for 2022 that do that Medicare Part B reimbursement. And that's in addition to several that we already had. So, you know, we do encourage people to take a look at Medicare. We do have a section of the FEHB brochure on Medicare coordination of benefits. It explains any type of incentives, any type of copay, coinsurance, deductible waiver. And that's in section 9 of each one of the FEHB brochures. Also, again, available on our open season website for the FEHB brochures. But there is a lot of interest in Medicare. And again, we are trying to find ways that we can make it more of an enticement for individuals to take Medicare Part B. Because if they don't, then it's an added expense to the FEHB program.
And it could be an added expense to the extent as you get older and sicker. Your expenses go up in Medicare Part B and FEHBP coordination. In many instances, you get first dollar coverage because copayments and deductibles are waived, and you get the benefit of a premium rebate on Part B, correct?
Correct.
Also, the members should know, you know, folks should know that if you decline Medicare Part B coverage at your first opportunity, when you first become eligible, there is a penalty for late enrollment on the current law.
Correct. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that's 10% for every 12 months that you do not enroll. The other thing we try to clarify on that, Bob, is that penalty does not apply if you're still working. If you're still working and covered by FEHB, that penalty does not apply. So like if you work to 67 and then and don't enroll in Medicare at 65, you will not be penalized because you're still working, have employer-provided health insurance coverage. But if you are retired and don't enroll in Medicare Part B, then that penalty does apply.
So how many FEHB plans are providing this premium rebate right now?
I have a list. Unfortunately, Bob, I do not have a number.
Okay. I remember because in the past it was around five. So if you're adding four more, we're talking around 10-ish.
Yeah, it looks like I'm just looking at the list here. It's more extensive than that. It might be about 20 or so.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah. I'm seeing some big names on here. I'm seeing Aetna, APWU, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, GEHA, Kaiser, MDIPA for the local DC area, a couple United Healthcares. So again, you know, if you're in one of those plans, considering one, check that FEHB brochure, our Section 9 on FEHB and Medicare.
Separate and apart from FEHBP, and I put that in quotations, are flexible spending accounts and dental and vision coverage. Can you talk about what's new with regard to these aspects of healthcare coverage?
Yeah, for FedVIP, the dental and vision, we just issued new contracts last year regarding that. So wasn't a whole bunch of changes, but some of the FedVIP carriers are making some benefit changes that are advantageous to enrollees. So if you're enrolled in FedVIP, you might want to go in and take a look and just see what your increased benefits are. Again, you know, we talk a lot about FEHB, and thanks for bringing up FedVIP. We also encourage people to look at their FedVIP. Now, I enrolled in FedVIP for the first time last open season, and I'm glad I did because I had some unexpected dental expenses that the coverage really helped. So if you're not enrolled in FedVIP, that's dental and vision, we always encourage people to consider it. And we also encourage people to shop around for FedVIP, either, you know, to see what their current plan is covering or might add, and there may be a better option for them for FedVIP. So, you know, we do encourage, not a whole bunch of changes. That's on a different contract cycle than FEHB is. So generally, it's not a whole bunch of FedVIP changes each year for either dental or vision.
And anything new on the flexible spending account page?
Yeah, the thing about flexible spending account, and the first thing, we always encourage people to roll in FSA feds. It's a way to save a good bit of money on your taxes. I enrolled in FSA feds a couple years ago. The plan I'm enrolled in does paperless reimbursement. So I know a lot of people were kind of reluctant. Well, I don't want to, you know, file claims. I don't want to hold on to them. Seems kind of like a hassle. But a lot of our carriers offer paperless reimbursement. My carrier does. I never touch a claim. I never see a claim. All I see is an email from FSA feds that the money's been deposited into my banking account. So that was kind of the thing that put me over the edge for FSA feds. So we do encourage FSAs. A couple changes for FSA feds due to COVID. There was some legislation that previously there was a $550 carryover limit from your FSA feds, your health spending account from 1 year to the next. That has been eliminated for the carryover from 2021 to the 2022 plan year. So there is no carryover limit from 2021 to 2022. We do give the reminder that in order to use your carryover, you have to re-enroll for 2022. So there's no carryover for 2021 to 2022. Just a reminder is that that's a 1 year only. So from 2022 to 2023, the $550 carryover will apply once again. So that's if people got some money left on the table they didn't spend due to delaying some services due to COVID, then we're fixing that so they can carry more over into 2022.
Final question. I think, you know, earlier in the program, we talked a little bit about, and you just did, about COVID-19. God willing, COVID-19 is on the run right now. But can you tell me how the pandemic has impacted FEHBP and its premiums?
Yeah, the premiums, it's what was interesting about COVID was that a lot of individuals, primarily in 2020, delayed coverage. They delayed services. So either they couldn't get to the doctor or there was other issues. They put off treatment, probably more preventive services than a lot. But so that kind of kept the premiums a little bit lower for 2020. And now we got the people coming back and getting these services. So there's probably a little impact on COVID, on premiums. But, you know, kind of one thing I did want to mention is that, you know, our program, FEHB, paid out about $1 billion in services for related to COVID. And that would be for hospitalizations, treatments, et cetera, which was about 2% or so of our claims that were paid for the year. So, you know, COVID did have an impact on FEHB. You know, and then with the vaccinations that we mentioned earlier was, you know, also paid for out of the FEHB program.
Thanks for joining us, Jay. And thank you for everything you do on behalf of federal postal employees and retirees during open season. Can you once again give the dates of open season and the OPM website?
I will. The dates of open season, Monday, November the 8th through Monday, December the 13th of this year. And again, that's FEHB program, the FedVet program, Dental and Vision, also our flexible spending account program, FSA Feds. And always happy to give the website, www.opm.gov/open season. One visits that page.
Jay, once again, thanks for joining us. And listeners, take his advice to heart and act upon it. Open season is coming. Thanks again for coming, Jay. And we look to hear from you next year again.
We'll be more than happy to be back next year.
Okay. To our listeners, if you enjoy Naps Chat, please go on to the Apple Podcast Store and give us a positive review. Be well and safe till next week.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going